Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you're going to get anywhere else. You know, it's not the same nonsense that you get at all these other places. We give you a little bit of insight, give you a little bit of sarcasm, give you a little bit of humor, give you something a little bit different than you get at these other places. We have actually been called, I know you're going to be shocked by this, we have actually been called the Thinking Person's Sports Show. If you pride yourself on being a little more informed than the average fan, you're going to love this show. You're going to want to listen to this podcast. Hey, if you want to contact me, and there's a couple different ways that you can get a hold of me, you can hit me on Twitter at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Same word for Facebook. It is just Daily Dose Sports. Our website, if you want to go over and check out the website, we put up new articles every week. We have some polls. We have a couple different opinions, a couple different things you might want to check out. DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com. Go over there and check out the website and see what you think. We have some more stuff coming out all the time on there. If you would like to email the show, if you would like to get a hold of us here, and you know, we've had some people, we've had a number of people reach out. In fact, I was going to tell you, we may have in the next few weeks, we may have a show coming up of just your emails, because I've received a number of interesting emails that I really feel like I need to share with some people. A couple people have asked me some questions. A couple people have some sports questions. I've even had a couple people say, hey, I'm having this issue, you know, whether it's in dating or with a relationship, and what advice do you have on that? You know, we've got you covered. If you want to email the show, hit us up, dailydosesports@gmail.com, and we'll get that. Hey, if you would like an update, if you would like to get updates to the articles that I write, you would like an update on the show, you would like a link sent directly to you, just email the show, put updates up in the subject line, and I will add you to our email list. We currently have an email list that seems to be growing a little bit every week, and we send out links to the show, we send out links to the articles that go up on the show so that you know when the newest stuff comes out. If you would like that email sent to you, just send me an email at dailydosesports@gmail.com, and I will add you to our growing email list. This week, we have a ton of things to get to. We've got a lot to get to today. NBA Finals preview. We're going to break down the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Should be a very entertaining finals. Going to talk a little bit of NFL news. Got some NFL things coming out this week that I think that are very, very interesting that we want to keep an eye on. Big news in the world of soccer. Yes, I said it. Soccer. We're going to talk just a little bit about the FIFA scandal that is going on. Got some Major League Baseball we want to hit. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs or Stanley Cup final is going, gets started tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that. And of course, we have breaking news and our most popular segment, the segment you don't want to go anywhere for, our Daily Dose Top 5. You always want to stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5 because we just don't know where it's going. It has a mind of its own and it takes off in a number of different places. Let's jump right in because we have a lot of things we got to get to. You might have saw Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota has the number one selling NFL jersey. He just beat out Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston, who was first overall. And do you know who came in at number three? Poor little old Tom Brady. Tom Brady comes in at number three, says to me there's a lot of people that are trying to show their support for Tom. I would bet up in New England, you're going to see just about every single person in that stadium wearing a Tom Brady for the persecution that he has undergone. Rounding out that top 10 in jersey sales this spring, at number four, Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. We had Rob Gronkowski on the list, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, Dez Bryant came in, Aaron Rodgers was at nine, and then Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning was at 10. Now, just a couple other side notes of some other players that were up in there. J.J. Watt, highest defensive player on the list, came in at 12. And the only veteran non-starter in the top 25, number 15 in the program, and number one in your heart, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Tim Tebow came in at number 15. Can you ever not be amazed at Tim Tebow? Tim Tebow has some fans out there. Rookies that finished out in the top 25 were San Diego Chargers running back Melvin Gordon. He was at 24. And then Oakland Raiders receiver Amari Cooper was at 25. Going to be a little bit weird going to be honest, going to be a little bit weird to see Amari Cooper's jersey on like a C-3PO action figure, but you know, that's how they do things out in Oakland. That's just how it is. Hey, American Pharoah, racehorse American Pharoah has a chance on Saturday to win a Triple Crown. He will be at Belmont on Saturday. You can check that out. He would be the 12th Triple Crown winner if he were to win it. But if he doesn't win, he will be the 14th horse since 1978 to win both the Derby and the Preakness and then fail in Belmont. I have a feeling it's going to be the latter. I don't think he's going to get it done. Last night, not sure if you saw Chicago White Sox and Texas Rangers, but you know, this kid, Joey Gallo, I mean, he came up in his major league debut for the Rangers last night, and he was just, you know, filling in for Adrian Beltre, comes in and is a triple short of running the cycle. Goes out, gets a single, gets a double, gets a home run. I mean, it had four RBIs. Rangers win 15-2, and the Rangers are starting to play some pretty good baseball. Want to keep an eye on them just a little bit. We are going to be talking some major league baseball later today. And one thing I want to get to today. One thing that we have to touch on today. This day in history, where were you June 3rd, 1992? Where were you on June 3rd, 1992? Because that was game one of the 1992 NBA Finals. Chicago Bulls versus Portland Trailblazers. The Bulls went out and won the game. But I want to talk just briefly about this game. Because this was the game that you might remember Michael Jordan gave the shrug. He gave the shrug over to the TV crew that was sitting there at the game. If you go back in time a little bit, back to 91, the Bulls had won their first title. Chicago had won their first title. And the reason that I bring this up, obviously we have, you know, the finals coming up. Finals begin tomorrow night. Should be an interesting finals. We're starting to hear those mumbles that we kind of hear every year around this time. Is LeBron better than Michael? Is LeBron better than Michael? I heard Bill Laimbeer go on a national radio show. And he said, hey, I would take LeBron over Michael. He has a more complete game. I mean, he can rebound. He can pass. He can go down and defend in the paint and block some shots. I would easily take LeBron over Michael. Now, I realize Laimbeer likes to stir things up, and he might have a little bit of a vendetta against Mike. Mike did kind of end his run up in Detroit, if you'll remember. But you do start to hear these people saying, hey, you know, when you think about it, LeBron does have a more complete game. He has a more complete game than Michael Jordan did. And we have short memories as sports fans. We get caught up in the emotion of what goes on. I've told you this before. We get caught up in the emotion and we say, oh man, that game last night was so amazing. I'm so, you know, man, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. Slow down. Easy. Calm down a little bit. He was an eyelash away from losing. And so we kind of start to forget the people that came before because we have short memories. And when these people start talking about, you know, LeBron, he really is a more complete player. Forget for a moment that their career stats, you know, for all the rebounding and passing and all those great things that LeBron does. And again, I'm not taking anything away from LeBron. He's a phenomenal player. But stop. You're not there with Mike. It's a little bit different deal. But I want to talk about this game just briefly because the reason that I want to bring this up is because obviously today, June 3rd, was that day. And you know, back at that time, the Bulls had just won their first title the year before. And they were starting to become this talk. They were starting to become this kind of growing sentiment that, you know, Michael's really good, but all he does is, you know, he goes inside and he dunks. And they're going to face a team this year in the Blazers that Clyde Drexler, he's kind of more of a complete player. You know, he's a better shooter than Michael is. He shoots better from outside than Michael ever did. And when this game started, and I don't know if you remember where you were, I remember vividly where I was at this game. I was at a buddy of mine's house that we had played growing up together and played basketball, you know, in high school and stuff together. We were watching this game, and we're both big Jordan fans, but we're watching this game. And when the game started again, there was this talk, there was this rumbling, there was a sentiment that maybe Drexler was maybe even a little bit better than Jordan, a little bit better passer. He could shoot from outside. His outside shot was much better than Jordan's. And when the game started, and people kind of forget this part of it, but when the game started, it wasn't, you know, we have this recollection that Michael came out and just started chucking up threes. That wasn't the case. He came out and he took two threes and he missed them both. Drexler actually scored two. He actually scored, it was 4-0 Drexler early on. And the Blazers had a lead. It was 13-7 early on. And Drexler actually gets a breakaway and running down with Michael, he actually gets the dunk. Not Michael. Drexler gets the dunk. Clyde Drexler was a phenomenal player. And Jordan came out for just a second. Phil went to his bench a little bit early, and he put Mike right back in. And that was when Michael started to get it going. And he hits a three. And he hits another three. And he hits another three. And in that second quarter is when Michael just started to go crazy. And pretty soon, Drexler had like 7 points. Pretty soon, Michael's got like 24 points. And it's starting to snowball. And I know that there's this lasting image that we have. Michael finishes the game going 6 of 10 from 3-point range. Goes for 39 points. Bulls blow the Blazers out 122 to 89. But it wasn't the story. On the last three that he hits, there's kind of a pick and roll situation. And Cliff Robinson, the forward for the Blazers, kind of checks out on Mike. And Michael hits the three over him. That was the final three that he hit, and that was late in the game. And he turns to the broadcasting guys, and he kind of shrugs. Now, I know that after the game, they talked to Michael. And they said, you know, you kind of shrugged. You kind of gave us the shrug. And his response was, it was just one of those things that I felt like, you know, I couldn't really control it. I was just so hot, and it was just one of those things where I put it up, and it just went in, and I just kind of shrugged, like, I don't have any control. I don't know where this is going. I got to tell you, as a person watching that game, that is not the feeling that I was getting from that whole thing. The feeling I was getting was he turned to the thing, and he was saying, Cliff Robinson checks out of me, and you're 6'10", and I'm shrugging because there ain't nothing you can do about this either, because that was the mentality that Michael had. And a lot of times people forget that. You look at the stats, you get caught up on, oh, LeBron has this, you know, more rebounds, or LeBron has that. You don't understand the killer instinct that Michael Jordan had. He would rip your throat out. I'm gonna tell you a brief story. I don't want to stay on this too long, but I'm going to tell you a brief story. There was a player that came out back in the early 90s. His name was Billy Owens. He came out of the University of Syracuse. And he was drafted by the Golden State Warriors very early. Big kid that could handle the ball. And they were talking about him being the next Michael Jordan. And when the Bulls faced Golden State and Billy Owens in that year, Jordan went out very, very early. They scored. They inbound the ball to Owens. And Jordan goes up and he rips him and he scores. And give them the ball again. You know, he's kind of a point forward. He's going to bring it up. He brings it up, and Jordan is all over him, smothers him, rips him again, goes down and dunks. You're like, okay, he's kind of picking on the kid now. Third time down, Owens brings it up. Jordan is smothering him. Him and Pippen are almost double team. Jordan rips it, goes down, and dunks again. And they talked to him after the game, and they said, why were you picking on this poor rookie? Why were you picking on Billy Owens? I mean, it seemed like you had a personal vendetta against him. And he said, and this is the one thing that I think people get lost in all the stats and all the nonsense. Jordan said, they were saying before the game that maybe he was the next Michael Jordan. And I wanted to let him know he wasn't. That is what made Michael Jordan the kind of person he was. The competitor that he was. He was mean. He was mean. And you know who else was mean? Alexander the Great, and he didn't lose. You can have the stats. You can have the stat line if you want. I'll take Mike, and I'm going to win. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL. Carolina Panthers have signed Cam Newton to a 5-year extension worth $103.8 million. I believe that comes out to about $1 million per ball that goes over his wide receiver's head. That now makes him the highest paid player in the NFL, at least for now. That was Jay Cutler. This is not a good trend to be on, apparently. But, you know, Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck still have deals coming. Newton talked a little bit last week. He said, you know, there's never been anyone who I am trying to be like. I mean, there's nobody that has my size, my speed, my arm strength, the intangibles that I have. Slow down. You have one playoff win, so ease up. And you know, when I think about this and I heard this, I was like, well, wait a second. I think you're forgetting the athletic ability that guys like John Elway, Randall Cunningham, even today, even Andrew Luck have. Oh, except for, you know what else they do? They win. And they actually, when they throw the ball, it goes to their receiver. Slow down, Cam. Ease up there, Cam. Speaking of the Broncos, left tackle Ryan Clady blew out his ACL in OTAs last week. And I'll tell you what, here locally in Denver, there were fans that, I'll be honest, they were getting up on the roof of their house. They were climbing out onto bridges. They were getting ready to jump, throwing themselves in front of buses. I know the loss is big. Ryan Clady being out does not does not help the Denver Broncos in their season this year. But just keep this in mind. You're putting in a completely new system under Gary Kubiak. It is a zone blocking, power run system. That's not exactly Clady's strength. Not that Clady can't do it at all. But that's not exactly his strength, hitting that first guy and going onto the second level and plowing that, you know, run lane ahead. Clady is that, you know, quick-footed guy that slides and keeps in front of your speed rusher. I'm not saying they won't miss him. I'm just saying might not be quite as bad as you first think. The fact that it happened this early probably helps too, because you're going to get someone else all those reps. And don't forget, Ryan Clady was out in 2013 and they kind of went to the Super Bowl that year. Peyton Manning is able to hide a lot of flaws in his offensive line. Don't underestimate that, because that season that he was out, remember, that was the most points ever scored by an NFL team in history. You know, I do wish the Broncos had drafted a little better in the draft. They had some offensive tackles that were in the draft, and in the draft deep when they could have got him. You know, Jake Fisher, Rob Havenstein, Donovan Smith was available. They took the kid out of CSU, Ty Sambrello at 59. I worry a little bit about him. He's a big kid. He's going to have to add a lot of strength to be able to really step into that system and play well. And he's going to take some hits, especially early on. They may have to go try to find, you know, an offensive tackle in free agency just to get a veteran that can come in right away. But it's not quite the end of the world just yet, Broncos fans. Hold on. Vikings Adrian Peterson actually reported to OTAs this week. And I guess that's a good thing, because remember last week, he got loose and went on that crazy Twitter rant where he talked about, you know, NFL teams don't honor contracts. And he was talking about how all the player, these contracts with the NFL, they're always one-sided. And he just kind of, I get what you're saying. Adrian Peterson, I understand what you're saying. NFL players should get guaranteed contracts. With the injuries that you have and the physicality of your sport, you should have guaranteed contracts. But you know who you should be mad at? You should be mad at your players' union. You shouldn't be mad at the Vikings, and you shouldn't be taking this out on your fans. And let's not forget, the Vikings have honored your contract. You didn't even play last year, and you still got paid. You still got paid. They honored that contract. And also, let's not forget that you kind of brought all this on yourself. And we can sit here and agree and disagree with, you know, was it child abuse? I don't care. Bottom line is you got into an issue with the law, not with the Vikings, not with the NFL. You got into an issue with the law. You got in trouble with the law for the way this situation was handled with the dealing with your children. The Vikings continued to pay you. So why are you mad at them? He did show up yesterday. There are still people, you know, it surprises me. It surprises me. There are people out in the sports world right now, intelligent people. People that if I say their name, you're like, oh yeah, I know who that is, that are still saying, why aren't the Cowboys trading for him? We covered this last week on the Daily Dose, didn't we? They don't have the money to trade for him. He's asking for too much money. He has his contract's like $13 million. They have like $12 million, and they still have people to sign. You guys are smarter than this, aren't you? I thought. I don't know. NHL. We've got game one, Chicago Blackhawks versus Tampa Bay Lightning tonight in Tampa. There's not a lot of animosity in this series yet, but I'll bet it's coming. I'll bet it's going to be coming. Both of these teams ended up kind of blowing out game sevens that they were involved in on their conference finals. But have you noticed this? Have you noticed that the Chicago Blackhawks, and I'm not hating on the Blackhawks, but have you noticed that the Chicago Blackhawks, they're kind of turning into the NHL bandwagon team? And I'm not hating if you're an original, Blackhawks fan. I get it. And I'll be honest, coolest logo, probably coolest name in all of professional sports. I won't even lie. But I'm starting to see, you know how you have these certain teams? You have like the Cowboys that, oh yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan. Oh yeah, I'm a Steelers fan. I'm a Patriots fan. Patriots are kind of big right now. Or I'm a Lakers fan. For a minute when LeBron was down there, I'm a Heat fan. There were people that had literally never heard of the Heat. And they're like, oh yeah, LeBron's, oh yeah, we're going to the playoffs. Oh yeah, I'm a Heat fan. People in Miami is basically who I'm referring to. Like they had no idea they had a professional franchise. And they were just like, we're in the finals? Oh, I'm a big Heat fan. Oh yeah, let me go get a jersey. Yankees fans, they're kind of that way. Notre Dame was always kind of this thing as we were growing up. If you didn't have a team that you, oh yeah, I'm a Notre Dame. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan and I'm a Yankees fan. Of course you are. Like Brazil, Manchester U, you have all the, it seems like the Chicago Blackhawks are kind of now that team. And if you want any proof of that, take a look at, you know, whenever they're playing on the road. In fact, look at the stands tonight in Tampa. You will see a ton of Blackhawks jerseys. That is like the cool thing to do. Blackhawks, you're going into this territory. You're kind of becoming, and I got to give it to them. If they were to win it this year, that's what, three Stanley Cups in 5 years? Pretty amazing run the Chicago Blackhawks are on. And I would make them the favorite in this series. I got to tell you, I'm kind of cheering for Tampa again, just to upset the old school hockey fans that are going to be like, the Stanley Cup is in Florida? What has happened? Talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. Because, you know, we're looking at Major League Baseball and you know, just kind of the standings. And we talked a little bit before the season started just about, you know, what teams were going to do what and where they were going to be. And you look at some of the standings even right now. And, you know, the Seattle Mariners had really high hopes. Seattle had high hopes. They're sitting at 24 and 28 right now. And they have their best two players are playing out of their minds. Nelson Cruz is playing out of his mind. He's hitting everything. Felix Hernandez has been phenomenal. But everyone else on the team has been horrible. And so they're not getting it done. They're sitting under 500 right now. There were people that were saying they could win the pennant this year. They're sitting under 500 right now. Oakland A's might be the worst team in Major League Baseball. They're at 21 and 33. I mean, you look at some of these teams and you're just like, man, what happened? I mean, we knew Billy Beane had made some questionable moves. Let's be real honest. He had gotten rid of a ton of talent. He had brought in a completely new infield to that team. And it has not worked whatsoever. For as smart of a guy as Billy Beane is, he is completely, this season so far, this experiment has been a complete mess. The Houston Astros are playing extremely well because their pitching rotation is like a year ahead and is not at all where we expected it to be already. They look like maybe next year they'll kind of, you know, contend a little bit for wild card. No, they look very, very good right now. Astros sitting in first place in the AL West at 33 and 20. Yankees look like a playoff team. Did not think they were going to be very strong this year. Yankees are looking like a playoff team. And I mean, they're playing pretty well. A-Rod, hey, I love it. But here's the thing that I want to throw out there. Does any of this matter? Because the season, I told you beginning of the year, is so, so long. So does any of this stuff matter? Because here is kind of my rule. And I know baseball goes, you know, it starts, what, back in like February or whenever they get going out there. And then it goes clear to like November. Longest sport ever. But I got to tell you, just have a little bit of caution when you look at these standings until we start to get after the 4th of July. When it starts to get after the holiday, then you can start looking at things and say, okay, they're starting to shape up a little bit. But even looking now, it's a little bit dangerous. And if you want some proof, take a look at this. Last year at this time, this week, the first week of June last year, Kansas City Royals were sitting at 27 and 30. They finished out the season 89 and 73, went to the World Series. Washington Nationals last year sitting at 27 and 28. They went on a tear in the second half of the season and finished the season out at 96 and 66. And the Colorado Rockies, your beloved Colorado Rockies, were sitting right around 500 at this time. They were at 28 and 29. They had that early season, start where they had just started so hot and everybody said, oh, this is the year. Rockies are going to contend. They're going to be at least in a wild card hunt. Yeah, and then they went 66 and 96 down the stretch, like they always do. Somehow, that glorious pitching staff that we keep hearing about wore down like it does every single year. So while I look at these standings and I say, yeah, there's some surprises here. There's some things maybe we didn't see coming. There's definitely a little bit. Don't get too caught up into it just yet. It's still a long season. We still have a long, long way to go. So last week on the show, we talked briefly about the criminal investigation into FIFA that was going on. There were some officials. There were some soccer officials. Not like, hey, you're in a boardroom and you're in trouble and hey, stop doing those things. They were arrested and indicted because they were taking bribes. And I told you, you know, there was the World Cup that was awarded to Russia. There was the World Cup that was awarded to Qatar. And these officials were taking these bribes. They actually have a trace of one of the soccer officials. I believe it was a $10 million bribe that he took. And they have some paperwork saying this is going to him. Because we all kind of wondered, let's be honest, we all kind of wondered, when Qatar was awarded a World Cup, we're like, what? Isn't that out in the middle of the desert? How on earth? It's going to be 185 degrees out there. How on earth did they get a World Cup? And somehow everybody voted for that? What in the world? Maybe it's a really cool place and we just don't know about it. Maybe it's just a kind of a resort and we just weren't aware of it. Yeah, except that it's not. And it's going to be horrible. And it was because there was bribery going on. And so all this stuff happened. All these, you know, these arrests and indictments and you know, the United States triggered this whole thing. USA kind of went in there and said, hey, we're seeing all this corruption. We're going to come in. We're going to arrest a couple of you. We're going to indict a couple of you. We're going to see if we can get you extradited over to the States to see if we can have you tried for some of these crimes. And then we had the FIFA presidential election. And we said, hey, with all this stuff pending, surely the you know, current president is not going to get reelected. And then the election came out and Sepp Blatter got his fifth presidential election. Fifth term in a row. He's been going since like 1999, I think. Sepp Blatter gets his fifth term. I actually think I had a bad case of Sepp Blatter back at summer camp one time. But Blatter was asked after the election. He said, they asked him, you know, after all this criminal investigation that's going on, after all these kind of, you know, allegations were out there, are you going to resign? And his answer to Swiss media was, why would I step down? That would mean I recognize that I did wrong. Yesterday, Sepp Blatter, wait for it, Sepp Blatter resigned. So I get, does that mean that he is admitting all these things that he did wrong? The good news, Sepp Blatter will now have time to get started on that Death Star that I know he's been wanting to build. So either, the take on this, I guess, when you look at it, because for him to resign, something is happening. He's not just resigning because he's sick of fighting the good fight. Either sponsor money is starting to pull out, which is what I would imagine it is. They are saying that Visa is starting to get very, very concerned about the image with FIFA. If Visa, again, these people literally print money, if they're starting to get concerned and they're talking about pulling out their sponsorship, yeah, you're probably going to need to do something. Because you're going to end up just running this thing to the ground. Or, so it's either the sponsor money is starting to pull out, or the feds are going to indict him and have him extradited on like racketeering charges or something. Either way, Blatter now is out. So now we're going to have a new election and get a new president into FIFA. But here's the problem. Unless you get someone elected into that position who is going to be completely transparent with what they're doing, there is still going to be this same situation. It's not just filthy at the top. FIFA is filthy all the way down. The way they spend their money has always been a little bit questionable. The way they hire people, the way they schedule events, it's always been a little bit shady. So unless you get someone in there that says, hey, we're going to open up the books, we're going to show you exactly what we're doing, how we're spending it, because we want to prove the validity of this sport and of our particular league, then we're just going to see this happen again. Here's the question that I have for you, though. And I know we don't talk much soccer. Is this USA's greatest soccer moment ever? Because I'll promise you, it sure isn't on the field. Speaking of American soccer, you probably never thought I would say those words on the Daily Dose. You just heard me say the words, speaking of American soccer. I know. The Women's World Cup is getting ready to start on Saturday in Canada. It starts on Saturday. It goes about a month. It will go to July 5th. You know, Team USA has a chance. They're a favorite. They're one of the favorites, at least. I mean, you've got a team that took gold home in the 2012 Olympics. I realize Germany and France, they're going to be right there. Japan took America out last World Cup. They're going to be right there. But I mean, you got Alex Morgan, you got Hope Solo, obviously Abby Wambach. This Team USA should be a contender at the World Cup. I know it's soccer. it's something to watch right now until, you know, football comes back. And you at least got to keep an eye on it and cheer for Team USA. I am going to say this, though, because there can't just be the we're happy to be there. This Team USA, I'm going to be honest, you're kind of loaded. You need to step up and actually win some games, because this whole thing, well, we were close, but who cares? And yeah, we finished second. That's not good enough this year. You're loaded. You should be one of the favorites, and we should present them as actually one of the favorites. Let's get over to the NBA. You know, we saw a lot of coaching moves last week, and we had talked about a few of them that might be coming. We saw a few things break down last week. Once that regular season and the playoffs start to dwindle down a little bit, you start to see some of these coaches get fired, get hired. Chicago Bulls fired Coach Tom Thibodeau last week once they realized that no one was going to try to trade for him. We all knew you wanted to get rid of him. Was there really that chance that maybe someone was going to offer you a draft pick for him? The Bulls yesterday, though, hired Iowa State coach Fred Hoiberg to kind of try to liven up that offense. Let's be real honest. Thibodeau had a very, very good defense over in Chicago, but their offense, I mean, even against, you know, Eastern competition, offense really, really struggled. Fred Hoiberg, he's a guy that, like I said, kind of that Golden State type system. A lot of spacing, a lot of shooting, going to get the ball out. That's the kind of stuff he ran when he was at Iowa State. And I think he probably feels like he can get, you know, Chicago to a first round playoff loss, you know, like he did at Iowa State, where they would go out, it seemed like, in the first round of the NCAA tournament every single year. Pelicans, New Orleans Pelicans hired Warriors assistant coach Alvin Gentry. And, you know, there was talk that maybe Tom Thibodeau would take this job down at New Orleans. But from what I heard, Tom Thibodeau is very, very nervous that Anthony Davis, forward Anthony Davis down there with the Pelicans, has no intention of staying in New Orleans. He had been hearing through his channels that Anthony Davis is going to fill out his initial 3 years with New Orleans, and then he's moving on to bigger and better things. So Tom Thibodeau said he had no interest in that job. Pelicans go get Alvin Gentry, assistant with the Golden State Warriors. Now, the interesting thing about hiring Alvin Gentry, who is a very, very good coach, who is a very smart guy, but, you know, they're going to want offense down there in New Orleans, and they're going to look at Alvin Gentry to come in and kind of establish that Golden State-type offense down there with New Orleans. Here's the problem. When I was watching the Pelicans this year, they need defense. And I know you're going to look at it and say, what are you talking about? They only give up like 92 points a game. Yeah, but they slow the game so much on the offensive end that that's kind of hiding how bad their defense really was and how teams really could attack and get inside on them a little bit. So he's going to have to come in and not just rebuild that offense and get them some offense and some things around Anthony Davis. He's going to have to try to get them a little bit better defensively as well. The Orlando Magic might have had the biggest surprise with all these coaching hires. They go out and hire Scott Skiles. And, you know, Scott Skiles, he's one of those coaches that we weren't talking about at all. We're looking at a number of different guys. Hey, there's Gentry, there's Mike D'Antoni, there's, you know, Tom Thibodeau, there's all these coaches. Was he on anybody's radar until he actually got the job? And then we're like, oh yeah, Scott Skiles, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But we weren't really paying attention. Scott Skiles was a really, really good player. And if you're not old enough to remember Scott Skiles, back when he was at Michigan State, he was a very, very good high school player back in, I believe, Indiana. Scott Skiles was a very, very good player. He's very good in the NBA. Did you know that he has a record in the NBA that might never be broken? He does. 1990, he racked up 30 assists in a single game. One game, not a month. One game, 30 assists. I know. Kobe and like Carmelo are out there just like, assists? What language are you talking? 30 assists in a single game. And do you know who that was against? I'll give you one guess who that was against. That's right. Your local hometown Denver Nuggets in 1990, who, by the way, still don't have a coach. And still, honestly, probably have no prospects. I think they're just going to stick with their interim coach because they don't want to pay anybody. Mike D'Antoni, probably the best option for that horrible team. Anyways, Scott Skiles, he'll be improved. Here's the funny thing. A lot of these coaches, you know, Alvin Gentry, we've seen him coach a little bit before. We've seen Fred Hoiberg at the college level. We haven't seen him at the NBA. We know what Scott Skiles brings. We've already seen this movie. We already know how it ends. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now, Orlando, if you are an Orlando Magic fan, if you are a fan of that franchise, or if you're just an NBA fan and you're saying, oh, will this be a good hire or will it not be a good hire? I'll tell you right now how this ends up. Because Scott Skiles, he's a fiery guy. He is a hard guy. He's a hard coach. So here's what's going to happen. They're going to come out initially at the beginning of the next season and in two seasons down the road, three seasons down the road, you're going to go, wow, Orlando's actually pretty decent. No, they're not maybe you know, playoff contenders or, you know, finals contenders, anything like that, but they're scrappy. Like on a given night, Orlando will beat you. And you're going to see a huge jump in the improvement of this team just from Scott Skiles because he's that guy. He's going to come out and he's going to get them to play extremely hard for about three seasons. And then you're going to see him burn out. His players burn out because of him and how hard he burns it. And he does burn it hard. And then you're going to see he probably quits after his third season and is like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm out. And his team by then will be completely sick of him and they'll quit on him too. He will have them playing better to begin with. Make no mistake about that. And then he'll burn out and just explode because we've already seen this. We already know. We've seen Skiles do this at a number of places already. Don't be surprised when it happens. Remember, you heard it here first. Let's get into the NBA Finals. Let's be honest. You know, we were talking about last week, you know, Cleveland had gone ahead and swept out their series with the Hawks. Golden State was on the verge of taking out Houston. And let's be real honest. The networks and the NBA got the matchup that they wanted. This might be one of the better matchups we've had recently. Even with, you know, we had the Spurs and the Heat. But let's be honest, the Spurs are kind of viewed as kind of that boring team. I mean, everyone kind of looks at San Antonio and is like, well, yeah, but they're really boring. Forget for a fact that, you know, forget for a minute that they play really, really good basketball. This is kind of the matchup everybody wants. I mean, you have the fun team in Golden State. They're really fun to watch. Offensive, they're up and down. They shoot a lot. You got Steph Curry, who we talked about last week a little bit, who if when you watch Steph Curry, don't you just get like the feeling that you're like, oh, man. Man, I should have really worked a lot more on my dribble and my shooting because look what he's doing with that stuff. And then you have, you know, versus LeBron versus, you know, you have the people on one side, LeBron, greatest player ever versus the people on the other side, LeBron, worst player ever. You know, there's no in between. So this series finally starts tomorrow. Doesn't it seem like it's been a month? It seems like it's been a long time since we've had basketball. And don't forget in this series, as opposed to the 2-3-2 format we've had in the past, Adam Silver got back to that 2-2-1-1-1. So it's not like you have to, that 2-3-2, you know, when you played two at home and then you went on the road for three and then you had the last two at home, I thought that really killed any home team advantage that you had for the team that had earned that home advantage. Because going on the road for three straight games, it might all be over. You may never get back for your you know, second two games. So getting back to the 2-2-1-1-1 format is much, much better. I think it's more balanced for both teams. They split the regular season. They played in the regular season. Granted, Cleveland did not have all its players when they played. Kind of blowouts on both sides, but they split during the regular season. I want to talk a little bit about this matchup, though. Both head coaches are rookies. You know, Steve Kerr had taken over for Mark Jackson and took Golden State and gave them the best record in the NBA. I told you, Steve Kerr was my vote for coach of the year. I thought he just had a phenomenal year. I realized that Mark Jackson had this team playing very, very well. It seemed like Kerr just took it to a different level, though, and kind of turned this team loose and let them get going. On the other side, David Blatt, mostly European experience. He's, you know, been Israeli league. He's been over in the Russian league. He's done a number of things over in Europe, but a rookie coach coming over him, you know, coming over here to the States and jumping into the situation. Don't you just get the feeling? Don't you get the feeling like in this series, if things were to go bad, we could just see LeBron go up and fire David Blatt right on the spot? I totally feel like we could see that. Now, something is going to have to give in this series. Something's going to have to give because the Cleveland Cavaliers are allowing 93 points per game in the playoffs against these teams. I want you to think about these teams. Boston, who let's be real clear, shouldn't even be in a playoff scenario in any league ever. Chicago, who, again, if we're honest, struggles to score probably at practice just in the gym by themselves. And then Atlanta, who is just pretty banged up. Golden State is scoring 104 points per game. And they did that against New Orleans, who I talked about earlier, isn't very good defensively, but they just don't let you have very many possessions. Against a very, very tough Memphis team. Memphis to me is a little bit comparable to this Cleveland team. They go inside probably a little bit. They're pretty tough inside. I think Golden State is going to have to rely on that experience of playing Memphis earlier in the playoffs. And then that last round against Houston, Golden State averaging 104 points per game. So something's going to have to give, because that's an 11 point difference. Cavaliers are allowing 93 points. Golden State is scoring 104 points. Huge difference. I want to talk a little bit about the injuries that we have to both teams. Obviously, injuries wise, Cleveland has Kyrie Irving, who is suffering from knee tendonitis. Now, I don't know exactly what the deal is with the knee tendonitis that Kyrie Irving is facing. I'll be honest, and I have heard some rumors and some murmurs coming out of Cleveland that there are people within that organization that are beginning to doubt a little bit of Kyrie's toughness. Because let's be honest, just about every player playing in this series has knee tendonitis. And I don't know if it's just so severe or what the situation is, but I'm looking at this going, okay, dude, everybody has knee tendonitis. Why are you sitting out so many games? Kevin Love obviously is out. Did you hear about Kevin Love? Because we all saw the injury he had back with Boston and the shoulder issue with Kelly Olynyk and all that. Apparently, he had the surgery to repair the shoulder. He's pretty much out anyways. There was talk that maybe he could come back, but I don't think that was ever a possibility. Did you hear that during the celebration of sweeping the Hawks, in a celebration with one of his teammates, he re-injured the shoulder? I'm not a guy that believes in like curses, that believes in like, well, there's the curse of, the city of Cleveland, there's a curse. Remember there was a curse at Boston back with the Red Sox and all that stuff. Curse of the Cubs and the curse of this and the curse of that. I'm not a big believer in that. But when you hurt yourself in a celebration, you start to wonder. Maybe they're just not very bright. I don't know. But really, you hurt yourself celebrating sweeping the Hawks? Like that's, I don't know. Only Cleveland. That's all you can say, Cleveland. Over on the other side, Golden State. I worried a little bit about Andre Iguodala's shoulder, when he had hurt that against Houston. They say that is not going to be an issue. Of course, they say nothing is going to be an issue. You know what else isn't going to be an issue? Steph Curry and Klay Thompson's concussions that they had. And Klay Thompson, I realize Steph, maybe he had one, maybe he didn't. I think he probably had a minor one. Klay Thompson was bleeding out of his ear. You're not in a heavyweight prize fight. Why are you bleeding out of your ear? And then you say he didn't have a concussion? He got kneed to the skull. And they said, oh, it was a cut to his ear. Well, that's great if someone had pulled a switchblade and cut his ear, but he got kneed to the head. Don't tell me he wasn't a concussion. It was a concussion. He went home. He was vomiting. He had a concussion. But it sounds like they will be back. We'll see how all these players end up playing and if they all end up playing. The one thing about LeBron, and we talked a little bit earlier about LeBron, where does he rate and that kind of thing. Here's the thing. If you lose this, you are currently 2-3 in the finals. He could go to 2-4. At best case scenario, he's going to be even 500, but you could go to 2-4. I realize he has carried a bad team to the finals one time when he was with Cleveland. That was not a great team that he took to the finals, and they got thumped like they probably, I guess, should have. But the loss against Dallas when he was down with Miami, and that team was loaded. His team was loaded, and they faced the Dallas team with Nowitzki, and that he didn't even play very well in that series. That's the one that always kind of sticks with me. When people start talking about, greatest ever, that's the one that sticks with me, was that Miami-Dallas series. When Dallas just kind of dominated them. LeBron never got going. Didn't seem like he really was, able to just take over. I mean, everybody's like, he's so much bigger, he's so much stronger. Well, where was he there? He averaged like 17 points a game. He's never going to be above Michael. He's just not. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. For one thing, never forget, he's wearing Michael's shoes. But if he loses this series, I think he could kind of even drop a little bit from where everybody kind of has him. I think people are starting to get him up on that Mount Rushmore of NBA players. You know, you've got like Bill Russell and Michael and Magic, and I think they're starting to maybe etch out a little spot for LeBron. I don't know if he gets to be up there. I know for me personally, he's not up there, but that's just me. But I'm old enough that I saw, you know, Larry Bird play. I'm old enough that I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play. So I'm not so young that I just sit there and say, oh yeah, well, I guess he's the best I've ever seen, so put him up there. Easy. I don't think so. But if this does happen, and he were to somehow lose this team to this team, you know, Golden State and all this, I think it does hit the legacy a little bit, doesn't it? It has to. Here's a couple things that I want to watch in this series, because I want to watch the matchups. Again, we pride ourselves here at the Daily Dose on being just a little more informed than the average fan. I don't want to just go out and let's look, how's LeBron? I want to watch the matchups. I want to look at a couple things. And I think that people are misjudging this series a little bit, because I keep hearing rumors, even from the, you know, the brilliant talking heads that are out there on huge networks. And they're saying, now if Kyrie, you know, plays, I think the Cavaliers have a chance, but without him, I think they're really going to struggle. I'm completely on the opposite of that, because I think Kyrie Irving is such a liability on defense right now, especially with his knee or his ankle or whatever seems to be bothering him on that particular day. Here's the question that I have for you. Who does Kyrie Irving guard? Who does he defend? Obviously, size-wise, you say, well, you put him on Steph. You can't put him on Steph Curry. Steph Curry is going to light him up. You want to talk about having, you know, that finals game where you go for 45 and you break all kinds of three-point records in a single game? Try putting Kyrie Irving on Steph Curry, because that's what's going to happen. I don't think that goes well for you. And I don't think you can put him on Klay Thompson, because I think if you put him on Klay, and I haven't been hugely impressed with Klay Thompson in the playoffs just yet, but I think Klay Thompson would say, I'm going to attack you and I'm going to go to the basket. And I think he could probably have his way in that way. I think they're probably going to have to try to hide Kyrie, play a little bit of kind of zone, and they're going to have to try to hide Kyrie and put him on someone like Harrison Barnes and just hope that Barnes kind of plays passive. Now, on the other side, I want to see not what LeBron does. I want to see who's guarding LeBron, because we talked a little bit last week about the Cleveland Cavaliers offense. And we talked a little bit about what they basically do is they're going to come down, they're going to run some sort of ISO for LeBron. They run more ISOs than anybody, and it's not even close. They're going to ISO LeBron, they're going to put shooters on the backside, they're going to let him just kind of go one-on-one, and all he does is he's going to read and react what the defense gives him. If you run at me, I'm going to look for the shooter to kick to. If you don't run at me, I'm going to dribble until the double team, and I'm going to see if I can get off a good enough shot. You know, I want to see, do they put Draymond Green on him? I think that's who they'll start at him. But I think you're gonna see Klay Thompson on him. The only issue I have with that is that's going to wear him down offensively. You're going to see Klay Thompson struggle at a little bit at the offensive end, because he's putting so much into his defense. I think primarily you're going to see Draymond Green and you're going to see Andre Iguodala trying to play him. And we're just going to have to see how they play it. I talked a little bit last week about help and recover, and I received a tweet from someone that said, I'm not sure that I understand what you're talking about when you say help and recover. Here's what I want you to watch for. LeBron goes isolation, usually on one side of the court. He likes it maybe out at the wing. He might even get it in the mid post. But he's over there by himself while everyone else is on the backside, maybe top of the key. Let's say that Draymond Green is guarding him. So he's defending him. And you've got like Steph Curry or someone over guarding J.R. Smith. Steph is going to, you know, kind of cautiously run at him. He's going to come with his hands up to try to defend that skip pass. And they're basically going to try to force LeBron into either a quick shot or he's going to have to skip it to an open shooter. Now, I told you last week, the issue isn't with the help. Steph can get over there in time to at least force a decision. Like we talked about read and react. They can make him react. Here is what you have to see. When he reacts, so say he skips it back to JR, what I want to watch is does Golden State rotate other players? So I'm just going to find the nearest person to the ball and you cover that shooter so he doesn't get the shot up. Or are you going to depend on someone like Steph Curry to turn the 180, turn his body 180 degrees, sprint back, recover with a high closeout to where he can contest the shot and he can be balanced enough to guard against the dribble penetration? That's what I'm watching for. When you watch this Cavaliers offense, keep an eye on that. When LeBron goes ISO, what's the read and react that he uses? And then how does Golden State defend it? Do they expect one guy to sprint and recover? Or as a team, are they going to go team rotation and have, hey, you're closest to it, you slide over, and we'll keep rotating until everybody's found? That's what I want to kind of keep an eye on. Should be an interesting series to watch. I think it's going to actually be a really, really fun series. I'm looking forward to it. Golden State, the key for them, and I've talked about this since the playoffs started, the key for them is if they play good defense, and it's going to be the things we just talked about. If they play good defense, they're going to be very, very tough to beat. Daily Dose, our Daily Dose Top 5. We do it, every single week. We have a Daily Dose Top 5, and I've told you in the past, you never know where this is going to go. Sometimes we're looking at the future. Sometimes we're looking at the past. Sometimes we're just looking at something random. Our Daily Dose Top 5 today, we're going to look at the X factors of the 2015 NBA Finals, because we kind of know what the stars are going to do, don't we? I mean, we just talked about LeBron James. We kind of know what he's going to do. We kind of have an idea of what, say, like a Kyrie Irving, if he plays, we kind of know what he's going to do. We kind of know what Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, even a little bit like Draymond Green, someone like that, we kind of know what they do. But who are the X factors that maybe we don't know? And doesn't it always seem like in the NBA Finals, there's just a couple guys that maybe they step up and they have those big moments? I think back to players, Steve Kerr, or you think back to players like, maybe a Michael Cooper or a Mark Ivoroni or somebody like that. Somebody that just steps up that you're like, man, I didn't really see them stepping in and playing such big minutes, but they stepped in and they played huge minutes. Let's take a look at the top five X factors in the 2015 NBA Finals. Number five, you got to look at J.R. Smith. Yes, he always seems to be like an eyelash away from just grabbing an AK-47 and going crazy. But I want you to keep in mind, in these playoffs, he's averaging 13.5 points per game. He's hitting 3 3-pointers per game, and they are those clutch situations when you have LeBron on an ISO, he kicks it, and JR is knocking them down. He's hitting those threes at 40% success. JR Smith could definitely be an X factor in this series. Keep an eye on him. Bizarrely, that a former Nick and Nugget could be, somehow in this whole scheme. Number four on our list. Sean Livingston with the Golden State Warriors. Do you know the story of Sean Livingston? Do you realize where this kid has come from? Let me give you just a quick little background on Sean Livingston. Backup point guard, plays a little bit of point, kind of spells Steph Curry for Golden State. Sean Livingston was kind of that high school phenom coming out of Peoria, Illinois. Very good high school player. So good, in fact, that he turned down a scholarship from Mike Krzyzewski and Duke to go to the NBA instead. Very good player, drafted number 4 overall in the NBA by the Los Angeles Clippers. In 2007, he had a horrible knee injury. You can YouTube it if you want to. I'm telling you right now, don't say I didn't warn you. It is one of the ugliest injuries I've ever seen, and I've seen some bad ones. In that injury, and he was going in for a layup, he kind of just landed awkwardly, and the knee just went out from under him, tore his ACL, his MCL, his PCL, tore the meniscus, and dislocated his knee. His knee goes like a pretzel. And they had legitimate concerns that they were going to have to amputate this guy's leg. Relation to his lower leg. And it was months before he could even walk. They were saying we might have to cut it just below the knee. It was months before he could ever even walk again. He finally gets to where he can walk. He gets to where he can rehab a little bit. He starts to build his way back. Let me just walk you through where he ended up. He signed with the Heat briefly. He was sent down to the D League. He signed with the Thunder. Got released. Went to the Wizards. Was traded. Went to the Bobcats. Got released. Went to the Milwaukee Bucks. Got let go. Went to the Rockets. Was barely there. Got cut. Went back to the Wizards again. Played a little bit, went to the Cavaliers, Wizards let him go, went to the Cavaliers very briefly, went to the Brooklyn Nets very briefly, and ended up with the Golden State Warriors. He was with 9 different teams in 10 years. And somehow, I mean, he spells Steph Curry. He's getting about 5 points a game. Wouldn't it be a phenomenal story if somehow Sean Livingston just showed up and had a great moment in these NBA finals? Keep an eye on Sean Livingston. The story to that guy has been absolutely amazing. Number three on our list of X factors that could affect the 2015 NBA finals, Iman Shumpert. You know, Iman Shumpert has kind of been a little bit forgotten in the trade with the Knicks. You know, we remember J.R. Smith. We remember them, you know, obviously getting the deal with Mozgov to bring him in and become that big man in the middle. But Iman Shumpert, keep an eye on him because he could be a very good defender. And he's probably going to be the guy that is going to be asked to defend Steph Curry the most. Iman Shumpert could affect this series very much with his defense. Little bit of an offensive game to him. He can knock down some shots too on that backside. But watch his defense, especially if he's guarding Steph Curry. Number two on our list, going to stay with the Cavaliers and go with the big man, Tristan Thompson. Because speaking of guys that are going to have to defend, the thing that I like about Tristan Thompson in this series is I think he's a better defender on the pick and roll than Mozgov is. When you go pick and roll and you go ball screen on that, if you switch it, and even if you just temporarily switch it, Golden State is so good at finding a mismatch. Golden State is so good. Steph Curry will come off that ball screen, and you saw in the Houston series, you know, they'd switch and Dwight Howard's on him. He would back the ball clear out to half court and be like, you're going to have to stay with me. I'm not going to drive and just let you guys switch right back. I'm going to pull you out. Come and get me. And then let's see if you can stay with me, and I don't think you can. Tristan Thompson gives them a little more versatility out there on that switch, that it's going to make it a little tougher. I think Mozgov is going to struggle on this a little bit because, you know, whether it's Klay Thompson or whether it's Steph Curry, they're so good at finding that mismatch. Tristan Thompson could help. On the other side, he's actually giving you almost 10 points a game. He's giving you about 5 rebounds a game. He could be dangerous at the other end. A team going against, you know, Golden State that doesn't have a huge inside presence. They're kind of scrappy. He could be a big, big X factor in this series. And number one on our Daily Dose top 5 X factors of the 2015 NBA Finals, got to be Harrison Barnes with Golden State. If you saw game 5 against the Rockets, and I know the Rockets seemed like they really kind of self-imploded in that game 5. You know, they just couldn't get going. But Harrison Barnes, to me, was kind of the key. I mean, he goes out, he has 24 points. He has 7 rebounds. He helped out on James Harden, who had a horrible game in that game 5. At 6'8", Harrison Barnes can create all kinds of matchup problems. He's too big for a guard. If he's aggressive and he decides he wants to go down the post, he wants to post people up, he's just got too much size. He's too quick for a big man because he's more of that swingman type player where if you do put a big out on him, if he does end up on a Tristan Thompson or you know, a Timofey Mozgov, he's going to be just too quick for him. He's going to blow past him and get into the paint. If he looks to attack a smaller player, and if he is aggressive offensively, I absolutely could see Harrison Barnes taking some of the pressure off, you know, the Splash Brothers, taking some of the pressure off of even Andrew Bogut inside because he's giving them something else. Harrison Barnes is a guy I want you to keep an eye on in these finals. My pick, if I had to pick, I'm going Golden State in 6. That's just me. Hey, once again, if you get a chance, please, 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 you know, go onto iTunes. You can find the podcast just about anywhere. You can find it on iTunes. You can be a subscriber there. You can subscribe to it on Podcast Republic if you're a Droid user and not an iPhone user. Number of places you can get it. If you get a chance, go on, give us a rating and a review. Just give us a 5-star rating and say, hey, enjoy the podcast. That's all you got to say. It doesn't have to be anything great. Just throw something out there for us because it does help us get into the up and coming podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking about these NBA finals. Obviously going to have a ton of things to break down on the NBA finals. Going to talk a little about the NHL, the Stanley Cup, and what's going on over in those playoffs. Might even talk some Women's World Cup. I don't have any idea how that's going to go. We might at least have to keep an eye on it, right? The NFL dominates the headlines year round. You know, we're going to have some NFL news to get to, Major League Baseball to get to. And one thing that I want, you know, just to keep in the back of your mind, the NBA draft comes later this month. Could have some mock drafts, could have some players we got to talk about, and maybe some directions that your favorite team is going in. Going to be a very, very interesting NBA draft. The way that lottery shook out and some of the players that are available, it's actually a deeper draft than we've had maybe in the last few years. Should be very, very interesting. Would like to thank you all so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. I've told you in the past, our numbers are going up a little bit every single week, and that is thanks to you. I really do appreciate it. that. I've told you before, if you want to hit me on Twitter, at Daily Dose Sports, or Facebook, same. You can find me on our site, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And if you got an email, you got a thought, you got a concern, you got something you want to hit me up with, hey, we even have, you know, a couple weeks ago, someone sent me, hey, what about this for a top five? Hit me up, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. As usual, have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this without you. Enjoy the finals this week. Should be a lot of fun. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.